Tommy, we've heard a lot about the ice epidemic. We spoke to Dan Wills about a story in the Advertiser just after 7:30 this morning about jails are filling up with ice addicts and or people who have problems with ice, and it seems to be a real problem. Even at a federal level, the governments of all persuasions are saying something needs to be done, yet at the same time, it appears that funding is either being cut or held back, and it has stalled. There's been a Senate inquiry into what sort of funding should take place in the South Australian Network of Drug and Alcohol Services, which is the leading agency in this state.
Seems to fly in the face of the message they're trying to get out.
Well, it seems to be hypocrisy in my book, but if you're trying to prosecute a case from a federal level of we need to get on top of this problem, that means we need to put more money into it. That seems as night follows day. Michael White is the boss of the SA Network of Drug and Alcohol Services and joins us. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Now, as executive director and officer of this organisation, do you feel like you're banging your head against a wall trying to get more money but being told no decisions made, and do you fear the worst?
Banging our head against the wall, yes. It is a question that's kind of been outstanding for some time. Part of our problem is that when somebody comes to drug and alcohol treatment, the treatment that they receive is usually counselling, face-to-face work with a worker. And if there's not security of funding, those workers often have to move jobs. You know, they've got kids, they've got mortgages and stuff like that, so they have to have secure jobs. At the minute, we've got a lot of people in the broader community services and health whose jobs are at risk.
Michael,
and
you've obviously
that means that they'll leave, and then their clients will drop out of the system. So if you want to support clients, you have to support the workers.
Michael, you've obviously got your ear close to the ground. Just how much of an epidemic is the ice epidemic that we see here, read about? I mean, we seem to be reporting a lot more cases of it. Just how big a problem is this on a South Australian perspective and a national perspective?
We don't like the term epidemic. An epidemic is where 6 or 7% of the population is affected by a disease. About 2.2% of the population use methamphetamine or amphetamine-type substances. What we're seeing is, of that 2.2%, a very significant shift away from using lower purity forms of methamphetamine to higher purity forms. And the very simple equation for people is, it's a bit like you go home in the evening and you have a glass of wine, and you change that wine glass full of wine for a wine glass full of pure alcohol. Its impacts would be significantly different on the way that you behaved, what you did, etc. And so people are moving from using amphetamine-type substances or methamphetamine, speed, base, that kind of stuff, to using crystal methamphetamine, which people call ice, and crystal methamphetamine, 8 times more powerful. So, you know, one of the messages that people have talked about getting out there is, you know, people need to be aware of the consequences of the doses that they're taking if they're taking a drug like that, you know.
Michael,
the harm minimisation thing is you don't go and drink a wine glass full of whiskey at the end of your day.
Michael, just putting it in perspective, in my mind's eye, I've seen an ice epidemic or a problem, as we call it, mainly amongst young people. The way you're talking, are we talking professional people as well, adults of all ages?
Historically, methamphetamine use has been very common across, or not, but its use is very diverse. It's not a drug that targets a particular group in the same way that other things do. There's a lot of methamphetamine-type substances that are prescribed, so ADHD drugs, some anxiety drugs, so, you know, dexamphetamine and stuff like that. So, you know, there are amphetamine-type substances out there being used for correct medical purposes. So And one of the problems with the kind of scare campaigns is there seems to be a desire to make this drug different from every other drug. You know, the worst drug, the most terrible drug, etc. Mm. And what that does is it destroys people's belief that they can deal with it. And methamphetamine is just a drug. You can come off it, you can recover, you can go back to a normal life. You know, it's no more or less terrifying than any other drug that people get trapped in. And alcohol is a really good example. Alcohol affects 10 times, 15 times the number of people that crystal methamphetamine affects.
Mm.
So don't say that it's untreatable.
So moving on, Michael, to the problem of funding, that if you don't get the funds that you require, and the federal government seems to be at the very best sitting on its hands over it, and it might be a little more sinister than that even, if you don't get the funding, are you getting staff who are there to treat people who have a problem just leaving the industry saying, well, we need some certainty in what we're doing?
Yeah. People are looking for job security. I mean, South Australia has a unemployment problem. You know, I've just been listening to the coverage of the submarines and, you know, whether people working in submarines will be employed. The mines in Roxby, all of those kinds of things. Where people lose their job, it's far more likely that they're going to try and cope with that by using alcohol and other drugs. The rates are likely to go up as a consequence of that uncertainty. And if at the same time we're defunding the community services and health sector, then those people can't find support. They don't see support. And the people in those industries, your community-based drug and alcohol workers, your drug and alcohol nurses in hospitals, your doctors who are working with dependent people, they are all put under significantly more stress. And so you end up with a system that's very difficult to sustain. And as I said, the relationship between the worker or the clinician who's dealing with the person and the person who's got the drug problem and their family and their children is critical. And if that gets destabilised, that often destabilises the treatment. And at the minute, we've got a problem with some of our organisations, not all of our organisations, but some of our organisations have quite long wait lists. And that means that if you want to get treatment now, which is when you need treatment when you want it, and you can't get it, the likelihood is that you'll continue using. And with crystal methamphetamine, the longer you use, the more your problems are going to be. Exactly like alcohol. The longer and the heavier the use, the more problems there are.
Mike, it's definitely a complex issue and certainly one that I think you need a lot of support for. Just quickly, when are you expected to get a decision from the federal government on whether or not you're going to be getting that funding ongoing?
Well, we would expect to see a tender process come out before Christmas. And then we would expect that everybody's going to have to re-tender for the funds that they've currently got. And that'll probably make their Christmases a very hard work time rather than a relaxing time, but that's usually the way that it falls. So we'd probably hear about the tender in September, October.
Well, that should be obviously a very interesting time for the Network of Drug and Alcohol Services. Michael White, the Chief Executive Officer, really appreciate your time on 5AA Breakfast this morning.
Yeah, it's a tense time for everyone, isn't it? And money that is much needed.